Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn 111, Holy, 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 111. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Let us pray. Almighty God, we worship you, the God whom others have worshipped in generations before us throughout all the ages. God of the patriarchs of the Israelite race, God of the kings and prophets, God, who made yourself known in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the activity of the Holy Spirit, we rejoice in the privilege of joining to worship you in our own time. We take a humble position in your presence, Lord, knowing how our lives fall short of what you ask of us and of the example you've given us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Forgive us that we so easily forget that you know what is best for us. Forget to keep our mind fixed on Jesus, our Master and Guide. Help us to see those mistakes, Grant us the strength to overcome them and the perseverance to go on seeking to do your will. Make us ready to meet the needs of others and to minister to them. Grant us faith to entrust ourselves, our dear ones, and all our concerns to your fatherly care. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 130, Ye Servants of God. 130. We read God's word in the New Testament, the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, at verse 20. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, at verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, In beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 at verse 1, Matthew chapter 6 at verse 1, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And moving on to verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. A hymn from CH3, number 144, God is Love, 144.
Thank you.
The second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, at verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I can still remember something my mother said to me even before I went to school. She said, there will be three kinds of boys in the class at school. Good boys, careless boys, and bad boys. The teacher, she said, the teacher will sort those boys out. Well, when I did go to school, I don't remember things working out quite as my mother had said. For one thing, she had only talked about boys, and I found that there were others in the class besides boys. I wonder if those ones were supposed to be good, careless, and bad as well. But certainly, a good teacher gets to know which pupils are good and which ones are going to be trouble. And the teacher, at least in his or her own mind, the teacher will do some sorting out. Those who get on with things quietly and those who constantly give trouble. Life is like that, isn't it? It can even be like that within one family, the ones who are relatively easy to bring up and the ones who drive you around the bend. When the Christian church was just getting underway, when the spread of the gospel was reaching out into the various parts of the world as it was then known, at that time it was the Roman Empire which was dominating the scene. The Roman Empire eventually declined and fell, but at that stage, when the Christian gospel first began to be spread abroad, the Roman Empire could still be said to be in its heyday. The Romans were good at building an empire, systematic and thorough. When their armies conquered other lands and subjected other peoples, they were able to assimilate those lands and those peoples into the Roman Empire very skillfully. Like a good teacher, they knew which people would live peaceably within the empire and which ones would give trouble. The empire was divided into provinces. Those provinces were divided into two groups, peaceful provinces and troublesome ones. The peaceful ones were ruled by the Roman Senate, the same as Rome itself and the places near at home. The troublesome provinces had officials put in charge of them. And those officials were responsible not to the Senate, but to the emperor himself. Those officials in charge of the troublesome provinces were legates appointed by the Senate. They were involved in drawing up a constitution for their province, so they had to shoulder quite a heavy responsibility. The responsibility of bringing new members into the circle of Roman citizenship. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Yes, the position of the Christian apostle is very much like the position of the old Roman legate, the responsibility of bringing others in, making the Christian gospel known to them, showing them the Christian way of life. Ambassadors. That's what we are as members of the Christian Church. The Church of Scotland has always maintained a presence in lands across the sea. Through the years, relationships have been established with churches in Africa and Asia. The church in general has become stronger for those activities. But ambassadors is a serious responsibility. It has to be taken seriously by each and every one of us. So what does an ambassador for Jesus Christ do? Well, what does any ambassador do? What does a British ambassador in a foreign country do? Or any country's ambassador, for that matter? He's in a foreign country. He's representing his own country. The people amongst whom he is living maybe speak a language different from his own. They almost certainly follow a way of life which is substantially different from what he's used to at home. And there is the ambassador, representing his country. He has to do his best to take part in what's going on in the country where he works, understand their ways, sympathize with their problems. A good ambassador will work at that and do it well. But all the time, he is a foreigner. He is different. The Christian ambassador has to be like that, in a way. He has to mingle with the community around him, the world around him, get on the wavelength of the people, be at one with their lifestyle. But all the time, he or she is a citizen of the kingdom of God. There's something about him or her which is different from the ordinary. That difference should not come across in an attitude of superiority, but all the same, it should be noticeable that the Christian is not affected by the world's values and the world's circumstances in the way that many a person is affected. What else does an ambassador do? What else is expected of him in the course of his work of representing his country abroad? Well, of course, he speaks for his country. When a British ambassador speaks, the people of the country where he works take his voice as the voice of Britain. Similarly, with an American ambassador or a French ambassador or whatever, the voice of the ambassador is the voice of his country so far as those hearing him are concerned. That means the ambassador has to be careful not to bring the name of his country into disrepute. The third commandment of the Ten Commandments: thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. One of the good modern translations says, treat my name with respect. A lot is meant by the word name. It means more than simply the word God. It means reputation, it means character. Treat the reputation and the character of God with respect. In the same way, the ambassador has to treat the name of his country with respect. In his hands, to some extent, lies the reputation of his country, his country's standing in the eyes of those amongst whom he's working. Now, if that is what is expected of a nation's ambassador in a foreign country, surely it points us to what's expected of a Christian as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Treat my name with respect. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It has to do with much more than using the word God or the word Christ. It's a great deal more far-reaching than that. You and I, in going about our daily life, we are charged with the great responsibility of being ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, representing him, treating his name with respect, living in such a way that people see in us something of the God in whom we believe, something of the master we serve. So when we consider all that, it is indeed a tremendous responsibility to be an ambassador for the Lord. So how are we to go about it? How are we to discharge this responsibility so that we need not be ashamed and so that we don't bring discredit on the name of Christian? Well, we are only human. We can only do our best. And even at our best, we're faulty and we make mistakes. But there is help available. There is the help of God himself. And that help is always available. So how do we get that help? God's help can come to us in any number of ways. Indeed, we can't number the ways in which it can come. But the essential thing is that we want God's help. We want to be true ambassadors for him in the world in which we have to live our life. If that desire is there, then the help of God is there too. So it comes in a wide variety of ways, but there are some recognizable ways in which we receive God's help. And although these are not the only ways, they're clearly marked out for us, and we ought to take advantage of them. We come to church. We like to come to church. Sometimes it's better than at other times, we have to admit that. But by and large, we like to come to church. We feel better for having come. And that is because we get help in the atmosphere of worship, in the act of worshiping with our fellow Christians. We are helped. We get a strength which does not come to us through the ordinary agencies of life. It comes to us through our worship. Sometimes we enjoy a service more than other times. That can be for any of a number of reasons. The reasons may have to do with ourselves, or they may have to do with things out with our control. But when we gather for worship, the Lord is there. He said he would be, and he always is. And that makes a fundamental difference. What it means is this: we derive a benefit from attending a service of worship. And that benefit does not depend entirely on our mood of the moment, doesn't depend on the competence of those responsible for putting the service of worship together. It depends on the Lord, and he is completely dependable. So, coming to church is one way of receiving the help which God gives, the help to become good ambassadors for him. We sometimes hear people say, "I wake up in the morning and I have to ask myself what day it is." We may laugh, or we may sympathize, but in a sense it doesn't matter what day it is. Whatever day it is God's day. He has given the day to us, and we ought to begin by thanking him for it. Thank him for the gift of the day. Resolve to give him the best we can, making good use of the day he has given. Likewise, when we come to the end of the day, we give it back to God. Ask him to forgive what's been wrong. Ask him to bless and prosper what's been good in the day. These things may seem simple, but they count for a lot. And they certainly help to shape our days, shape our character, make us better ambassadors for him as we go about our daily life. There's a lot more than that, of course. There are other things involved, other ways that we can receive God's help. There is no shortage of the help God can give if we really want to be ambassadors for him. No shortage of help. So, do we really want that help? And now to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 502, Take My Life, 502. Let us pray. Almighty God, we have heard your word. Grant that it may take root in our hearts and bring forth fruit to your glory. Accept the gifts of our material resources and let them be used in your service. Let your Spirit so pervade our lives that all we think and say and do may be an offering to you, our God. Lord, your hand has controlled the whole of life from its earliest beginnings. We thank you for the many ways in which you bless us day by day. We thank you for life with all its interest and all its challenge, for food to sustain us, for home and work, for the fellowship of friends and the opportunity to enjoy the beauty of your world. We thank you for the deeper things of life, the goodness and mercy which have followed us all our days, keeping us safe in danger, raising us up when we've fallen, strengthening us in times of testing, guiding us in moments of decision. Above all, we thank you for the supreme gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all that he has done and continues to do for us, for the Holy Spirit, the Church, for those who have helped to show us the way, and for the hope of the life beyond. We pray for the Church, that it may be continually renewed and enabled to be a channel of your love and an instrument of your will in the world. We pray for our Queen and the members of the Royal House. Grant your grace and guidance to those in positions of authority, that they may spend their efforts for the welfare of the people, the honor of our land, and the glory of your name. Take our dear ones into your keeping. We pray for those separated from us by distance, that by drawing near to you, we may be drawn nearer to one another. We commend to your care those who are ill and those whose work is the tending of the sick, that all may be strengthened by the knowledge of your continued presence and that the healing work of Jesus may continue. Be with those in any kind of need, supply their need, and bring them to a surer knowledge of your love and goodness. Jesus Christ has shown us that life is deeper than that which is bordered by physical birth and death. Sow within us the seeds of that eternal life, and keep us in union with those whose physical life is past and those yet to come, that we may in due course receive your blessing and be welcomed home through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Friends, many of you will know that one of our members, Nancy Morgan, died a few days ago, and you may be wondering about arrangements for the funeral service. Funeral service for Nancy is on Monday, February 27, a week tomorrow, here in the church at 11 o'clock, and thereafter at Holmesford Bridge Crematorium at 12 o'clock. And in the meantime, our thoughts and prayers are with Frank and his daughter-in-law, and those then are the arrangements. We close this service now with hymn 520, Ye Who the Name of Jesus Bear, 520. may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, this day and forevermore.